We're going to read this morning from God's Word, and if you could turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we'll be reading from verse 40 to 51 in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And these are the words of the Lord. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrib, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine on his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. This is the word of the Lord. You know, it says that over 150 years ago, there was a man named Henry Varley. And this is what he said. He said, The world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who is wholly consecrated to him. A young man heard these words and was determined in his heart to be that man. And the young man's name was D.L. Moody. And God used him to touch 2 continents for Jesus. Moody preached to more than 100 million people and many came to the Lord. The Lord today is still looking for men and women and boys and girls that he can fill with his power, that he can fill with his might, that he can fill with his spirit, that he can use for his name's sake. David is just one example that we have read of the type of person that God uses. And in David we see some of the characteristics of God's choice and not the choice of man. So through David this morning, I want to look at the kind of people that God uses. The kind of people that God uses. The first type of person that we look at, the type of person that God will use, is an ordinary person, because ordinary people are used by God. Ordinary people are used by God. When we look at David's status within his own family, he was ruddy, he was small. But yet God looked on the inward appearance. He looked on the heart and not on the outward appearance. We know that when King Saul was chosen, that he was picked because of his muscles and his might. But here God looked at the heart and he'd seen the real strength that was in young David. Because God uses the unknown, the ordinary, because in doing so, he will receive the most glory. David, we know, was a poet. He was a musician, skilled at playing the harp, composing songs. But by the end of his life, he was known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. He wrote psalms, He organized the music ministry for the temple. No matter how you examine David's life, he was a unique individual. And he was that way because God made him that way. In 1 Samuel 16:13, it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. He was anointed by God. The opportunities of his life matched the gifts bestowed to him by the Lord. David knew his gifts and experienced the power of God in using those gifts in his daily life. David was a Spirit-filled man, and his every decision had to be in the will of God and for the glory of God. God also used an ordinary servant girl, which we'll look at tonight, to direct the mighty man of valor, Naaman, and he still uses ordinary people today. I remember many years ago, I met a lady called Mrs. Blackburn. I think it was Dunmurry Baptist Church that she went to. And I met this lady up near a police station, and she was in an army camp. And she was waiting on a lift home, and I remember giving her a lift. But while we were waiting, I began to talk to her, and she explained that during the Anglo-Irish agreement, when the signs were going up, Ulster says no, that someone had put a sign they got near her church. And what this lady did, she used to spend her own money, and she'd buy pens and calendars. And on these pens and calendars, she'd write, "God bless our security forces." And she would go in and hand them out to the soldiers and the policemen and everyone she met connected with that. And the day I met her, she said, because of the sign that had been put up near her church or outside the church, that someone had written and banned her from coming into the army camps and into the police stations because of this. But someone else heard about her being banned, and they wrote to the Queen and explained about the work that this lady did. And she got a warrant from the Queen to go into the army camps and into the police stations. But that day, what really struck me about this lady was she just pointed up in the air and she says, "But I've got a higher warrant. I don't need the Queen's warrant. I have a higher one to get in." And this lady used to go into all the police stations. And I remember speaking to a brother one time who worked in the prison, in the Mays prison. And he explained that this lady was coming out of the prison one day. And he asked her, "Have you got your pass on you to get out?" She says, "I didn't have a pass when I came in." And he said, "Well, how did you get into the Mays prison? This is a high security prison." And she said, "The army helicopter dropped me off." So it did, in the army barracks inside. And one other time, I remember talking to her, and she explained how she used to go down to Aldergrove to meet the army coming in. And she'd stand with the top general and the colonels and that, while the new recruits all came in. They all came over for their first tour of duty. And she'd be standing there giving them out the pens and the calendars. "God bless our security forces." To the world, she wasn't very much. She was just a wee old lady that just walked around the streets. But to God, she was one of his jewels and a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a great witness in those camps to everyone that she met. And I know that many souls came to the Lord through her faithful witness. She was just an ordinary person that God used. And as well as ordinary people, God looks for obedient people. Obedient people are used by God. The people used by God, it says, are willing to do the most mundane of tasks for the glory of God. David was on a mission here in this chapter that could have been handled by the least of Jesse's servants. He was commanded to take food to his brothers on the battlefield. But David willingly did the job because he was commanded to do so by his father. And what it says to us this morning, it says, don't look down on the tasks that the Lord assigns to each and every one of us, because in the least of them, we might reap the greatest glory for God. I remember many years ago when I was in work, typical of Northern Ireland, it hadn't stopped raining for about 2 to 3 weeks. And a brother said, "Where are you going tonight?" I says, "I'm going over to Bangor. There's a wee open-air church in Bangor beside the seaside, and I'm going over there to do a wee bit of evangelism." And he says, "Sure, it's been raining for 2 weeks." And I said, "Well, have faith." And on the way home that day from work, the devil just kept saying, "Listen, you're wasting your time. Don't go there. It's raining. Don't bother going." And as I arrived home, I went into the house, and I grabbed my guitar and my amp and my Bible, put them in the guitar, all into the car. And as I began to drive over to Bangor, the devil, even worse attack, "Listen, you're wasting your time. You're a mug if you're going here. Don't go. Don't go to that wee open-air church. It's raining. Don't bother. Leave it for another day." But as soon as the front wheels of my car touched that wee open air church, the rain went off. So I set up the amp, because I had the key, it was a wee sort of power unit there, and I set up the amp, and I sang for half an hour, and then I preached the gospel for half an hour. There was nobody about, I couldn't see anybody, but I just felt led by the Lord to do it that day. And I went and I did it, and at the end of the time there, this lady came walking over, and she was absolutely soaking wet, and she had a wee Bible open in her hand, and it was soaking wet also. And she said, "I just want to thank you." And I said, "What do you want to thank me for?" She says, "I lost my son 6 years ago, and this was the night I lost him. And I was walking around just looking for some encouragement, and you've really encouraged me tonight with the singing and with the preaching." And I don't mind saying it, on the way home I had tears in my eyes thinking about that lady and the encouragement that she had that night. And it reminded me of one very important thing, and that was that the one is as important as the many. And I remember saying to that brother the next day in work, that one was that important to God that night that the rain was turned off just for her. Because every soul is precious, every single one. And it's great that the Lord cares about every single one of us, and he wants to reach souls. So here we have this, not to look down on the Lord, what the Lord is saying to each and every one of us, because in doing what we might think is the simplest of tasks, then the Lord gets the glory from it. So we have ordinary people, we have obedient people, and another characteristic that God looks for is consecrated people, because consecrated people are used by God. He uses people who have a personal relationship with him. David's words reveal that David had a heart for God. He uses people who are relying on him, just as David did in chapter 17 here, in verse 37, where it says, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." The Lord uses people who are relying on him, and David voiced his faith and his confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. David did not trust in the man-made weapons. He did not even trust in the finest weapons ever made, the weapons of the king, of King Saul. David only fully trusted in the weapons that had always worked in his life, and those weapons were his faith in God. Brothers and sisters, this morning, any battles that are going to be won in our lives will be won by God. If we are ever used in this life, it will be because we are leaning upon him and his resources for our strength and our provision. So ordinary people are used by God, obedient people are used by God, consecrated people are used by God, and then committed people, because committed people are used by God. They're committed in spite of the obstacles, in spite of the opposition, in spite of their own human weakness. David was committed in spite of the obstacles in his life, but yet David was determined in this chapter to honour the Lord despite the obstacle in the size and the power of Goliath. His eyes were not on the problem, but on the problem solver. David was committed also in spite of the opposition. Some said that David could not do it. Others questioned his motives. But David was determined to defeat Goliath despite those who stood against him. Because those who go with God in this world are going to face opposition. In 2 Timothy 3:12 it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." At times that opposition, sadly, it will come from those we least expect, from other brothers and sisters in Christ. David was committed in spite of the obstacles and the opposition, and in spite of that human trait that's inherent in all of us, to give up in times of great trial or pressure. Pressure from friends and family and the world. Whenever we step out in faith to fight for the Lord, the enemy is always going to attack. Somebody is always going to be around to discourage you, and often it begins in our own homes. With David, it was his elder brother who didn't want him to go and fight. And Jesus warns us also in Matthew 10:36 that a man's foes shall be they of his own household. This was also true in the life of Joseph, whose brothers hated him. Moses also was criticized by his own brother and sister. Even our Lord's earthly family at times misunderstood him and opposed his ministry. David, like all of us in life, he had the chance to walk away when family criticism came. But with David, he had his priorities in order. To him, the main thing was the glory of God. David made up his mind that God would come first, no matter what. And this should be the desire of every child of God. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So of ordinary people, of obedient people, of consecrated people, of committed people, and also courageous people are used by God. People who are willing to accept the risks, that ridicule, to accept the end result, no matter what. They're willing to accept the risk, just as David was willing to put his life on the line for the glory of God. The risks are also accepted by many when we read through the scriptures. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Daniel in the lion's den. No matter what the risks, they were willing to take their stand for God. All had the same heart, to stand for God, no matter what the cost. All were willing to accept the ridicule. Just as David was willing to listen to the taunts of his opponents, the jabs of his critics, to him his obedience to the Lord outweighed any personal humiliation he might suffer because of others. I remember when I was first saved in the church that I went to, they decided to have an outdoor in July and August time. And I remember only saved about a week, and I was standing there with brothers and sisters doing the open air. And I seen some friends that I knew in the world coming past. And I went to hide at the back. And the Lord just rebuked me and says, what do you think you're doing going to the back? Take your stand at the front like everybody else. And he reminded me of his word about Jairus' daughter. And he said, the Lord said, if they can laugh at me, they can laugh at you. Take your stand for me in this world. And just be brave and stand there and witness for me. And that always stuck with me any time I've ever went out to do open air. So as well as the risks and the ridicule, all were willing to accept the end result no matter what. David walked out onto that battlefield confident in the Lord. David ran to meet his brothers because he missed them. There was a bond of blood and of love. But if you ever read this story of David and Goliath, one of the things that struck me about it was he ran to meet his brothers. But then we read later on that David also ran to the battlefield. And he ran to the battlefield because there was a bond. There was someone there that he loved more than any other. He didn't see Goliath. He saw the Lord. The Lord was there on the battlefield. David's eyes were on the Lord, not on the might and the strength of Goliath. The army saw a physical giant over 9 feet tall in Goliath, but David only saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And to God, the only giant that day on that battlefield wasn't Goliath. It was a young boy named David, who was a spiritual giant in the eyes of the Lord. David wanted the whole assembly that day to know that God does not need swords and spears to deliver his people. He delivers them his own way through the humblest of means. And just as David had been delivered from the bear and the lion, David had a confident faith in God because he had found him dependable in his greatest times of need. And we should find the same in ours, that God will be there with us. No matter how David's enemies had tried to destroy him, he was always guided and protected by the Lord. It took many years before God put David on the throne, but during that time he was building him a leader, set apart, experienced by means of trial and suffering in the battles of his life. So we have ordinary people, we have obedient people, we have consecrated people, we have committed people, and we have courageous people. But what do we see this morning in the characteristics of God's choice? As I've already explained this morning, I come from Belial Baptist. And we all know that Amy Carmichael, the missionary, is connected with Belial Baptist. But if Amy Carmichael was being assessed for the mission field by some of the world's churches today, she would not have been sent. She spent nearly 60 years, it tells us, in the field. She never came home once to report to her board or the people that supported her. She went out to carry out one ministry, but within a few years, the Lord had set her on a different path altogether to do a different ministry. And at one time, it says that she was in danger of serving 7 years in prison for assisting in the kidnapping of a child to get it away from people. Her reports were often not believed by the people who read them. This cannot be, they argued, but she proved it was so. The average church mission board would not have supported her. She would have been dropped like a hot potato. She was too independent. She was too unpredictable. The Word Lakes missionary work carried out in a certain way. There could be no surprises, no changes, no unexpected decisions that reached into unknown territory for the gospel. Amy Carmichael, quite simply, did not fit into our modern world of interchangeable parts because she was unique. She knew what God wanted her to do, and she did it. Some of the other stock from God's choice of servants would never make it past first base today either. When we look through the Word of God, it tells us that Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was depressed. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. You see, brothers and sisters, when we read through God's word, we see that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And that's a very important lesson for us all to learn. That God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. It's not about ability. It's about availability. It's being available to let God use us in this world in the way that he wants to use us. When we walk by sight, we calculate everything from the human perspective, and this always leads to discouragement. But when we walk by faith, it says that God comes into the equation, and that changes the results for time and for eternity. Men and women of faith throughout the ages have obeyed God, no matter what the experts say. All God's giants have been weak men and women who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them every single step of the way. David did what he did for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to give all the glory to God. I remember a few years ago I couldn't go to the mission field with my friend Donald. Some of our brothers went out, and he said to the two of them, you're going to have to talk to the children in the orphanage tomorrow. And they went, we can't do that. We couldn't talk to the children. He said, well, you're going to have to. And that night, both of them set up to 1:30 in the morning, and they got a children's talk together on Noah. And I went into the orphanage the next day, and I talked to all the children about Noah. And one young girl of 14 put her faith and her trust in the Lord. Now, some of the children, even though they were in the orphanage, they still had family. But that young girl's family were involved in drugs and alcohol. But she got saved. She put her trust in the Lord. And they came home thinking maybe we didn't do an awful lot. And 6 months later, one of the pastors who looked after the orphanage sent an email home here to Northern Ireland. And he said, do you remember that young girl of 14 years who got saved 6 months ago? And Donald said, yes. And he said, well, she went home and her whole family's now saved. And there's two brothers thought, what can we do for the Lord? Brothers and sisters, if we step out in faith this morning, the witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, all he asks us to do is be available. And he will bless that witness, and he will use it for his glory, and souls will be reached through it. Many years ago, at a church, the elder in the church was up on the platform, and he was praising James Hudson Taylor, who was about to come up and speak of how great he was. And it says that he was getting introduced in glowing terms. But whenever James Hudson Taylor got up onto the platform, all he simply said was, I am the very little servant of an illustrious master. I am the very little servant of an illustrious master. God does not only use the young, he uses older people. And no matter what ability we have, God will use it and God will bless it. So this morning I want us all to ask ourselves, are our eyes on the master? Are we a person that God can rely on? Are we a person that can be used of the Lord? A few years ago in the Ukraine, I met a brother called Leonard. Leonard had been disabled from birth. His legs were all deformed, and he lied on his arms, and his arms were covered in sores, and he typed on the computer. He typed the scriptures out to witness to people. And he memorized over half of the New Testament because he was afraid of the Russians coming in and taking the Bibles away again. And he said this day, I want to do more for the Lord. And we remember what we said to him as a team. We said, well, what more are you going to do, Leonard? You can't walk. You're disabled. Like, you're doing well on the computer. You're typing everything out to witness to people. He says, I want to go into the hospital and I want to get my legs amputated. And I said, well, why would you want to go in the hospital to get your legs amputated? Because he says, if I get my legs amputated, then I can get into a wheelchair. And once I get into that wheelchair, I can go into that town centre and I can witness to the souls that's coming by every day. And the unit did just that. He had his legs amputated. Yet, brothers and sisters, there's times here that we say, there's something on the TV today. I've got a cold. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to witness to people. I have other things to do. What's more important? There was a brother who had both legs amputated so that he could go out and reach souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that sets an example for us this morning, brothers and sisters. What can we do for the Lord Jesus Christ? We can go out onto that street and we can witness to souls. But there's two ways of witnessing. We can preach them and they know we're just preaching. Or we can preach them in love. And that's the way we have to do it. We have to do it in love, to show them that we care about them, that we care about their souls, and that the Lord Jesus Christ cares about them. To be used by the Lord, God does not measure us by what he helped others to do, but God will measure us by what he wants us to do, with the abilities and the opportunities that he gives to each and every one of us. And we're all here today in this church. We're here for a time, we're here for a season, and we're here for a reason. We are all here to be used by the Lord. So this morning, let us all run towards the Goliaths in our lives. Let us run and serve the Lord. Are we the kind of people that God can use?